Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Let's stand, shall we? The choir sings the story that we're all here to celebrate this morning. We serve our risen Savior, and He lives.
Beautiful people here today. I think we need to do some shouting today. Amen. All right. I want to introduce some good looking guys right here. This is Pastor Steve from North County. And I think that's the second time I've seen you in a tie.
You don't wear one that often yourself.
I know. And this is a beautiful man of God right here, Brother Gary Jordan, man. We love this man. Someday I'm going to be as good looking as you are, brother. One of these days. Good morning, church. We want to welcome you all here today to a beautiful day. We're going to be doing some really good things today. First of all, we're just going to be worshiping, singing our hearts out to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen. He is alive. So we want to ask you something. Ready? Grab a microphone. Let's ask him.
Ready?
You ready?
You're asking something?
He is risen.
He is risen. Okay, good. All right. I like that. Sounds good. I'm looking forward. I'm going to walk on the Sea of Galilee today. I just feel like it. A couple things I want to tell you about. First of all, over here we have little booths over here. It's got information about our three churches, North County, Second Baptist, First Baptist. And if you have any questions or any information you want to get, we've got children's programs and all kinds of things over there. And we would love to have you stop over there anytime you want. But today, the main thing is celebrating to the Lord. We're also going to take an offering. My favorite thing. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to give. You don't have to. But if you want to and you've got a check made out, just make it out to your church, First Baptist, Second Baptist, North County. Or you could just make them all out to First Baptist. It would be fine with me. And then any cash you put in there is going to go to help defer the expenses of this day. But it's a beautiful day, and we want to say thank you. So, Pastor Steve, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
I will. I woke up this morning thinking about how sometimes familiarity breeds kind of unfamiliarity. Sometimes we get so used to things that we stop seeing them. But like Jesus said, he who has eyes to see, let him see. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And my prayer is that God will open our ears today.
Amen.
God will open our eyes so that we will see. Let's pray. Lord, I don't know how to do this except to simply offer this time to you. This has been dedicated to you. We believe that you've called us here in the center of Paso Robles because we love this city and we want to see an impact happen in this city, something that will transform and change this city for you. Our being here in the center of this city is our prayer. It began when we got up this morning. When we began getting dressed and when we thought about coming here and traveling to this park and this place to celebrate your resurrection. And so we gather in this place as an act of worship to you and a prayer. May our eyes be opened. May our ears be opened. May we see and hear again the true message of Jesus Christ like we've never heard it before. Bless your people and bless this city. Be honored today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. I've been asked to read scripture, and in doing so, I'm going to ask that if you are physically able to stand, please do so as God's word is read. I'll be reading to you from the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 37 through 40. And God's word says, as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said in verse 40, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. May the Lord add a blessing to not only the reader, but to the hearer of his holy word. God bless you.
Here comes the Lord riding on a donkey with people waving branches and calling him king. Here comes the Lord riding through Jerusalem. If the people don't shout, the rocks will cry out. Rocks keep silent. Jesus comes to set me free. Rocks keep silent. I'm gonna shout in victory. Rocks keep silent. Jesus reigns in majesty, ain't no rock gonna shout for me. Here comes the Lord, a thousand strong to see him. Children stand on tiptoes to see the King. Here comes the Lord, excitement in the air.
If the people don't shout, the rocks will cry. Oh yes, the rocks will cry out. Rocks keep silent. Jesus comes to set me free. Rocks keep silent. I'm going to shout in victory. Rocks keep silent. Jesus reigns in majesty. Ain't no rock going to shout for me. Ain't no rock going to shout for me. Rocks keep silent. Ain't no rock going to shout for me. Rocks keep silent. Ain't no rock going to shout for me.
Sister Riri, ain't no stone going to shout for you. Oh, I tell you what, makes me want to take an offering. Ushers, why don't you come on forward right now, because that's exactly what we're going to do. Remember, if you make your check out to First Baptist, that's where it will go, or Second Baptist, or North County Christian Fellowship. This is a beautiful day God has given to us, church, and it's a beautiful day to celebrate Him. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the beauty of this day, a beautiful, beautiful day, the day that you conquered the grave. Everyone who is here today, Lord, is a testimony unto your resurrection. We believe, Lord, we believe. And today, if there's someone here that does not know the joy of being owned by you, may today they come to know you as Lord and Savior. Change their life today. Father, this is our prayer. Bless this offering. Bless all who are here worshiping you today. We ask this in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for your love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Good morning, men and women of God. This is the day. This is called Easter. So exactly what does that have to do with us? You think about it, in our life, we've heard of Easter. I grew up in America. I was born here in California in Van Nuys a few years back. In fact, when I was born, my parents had a dump truck and a Harley Davidson. And my mom, when she was about to deliver me, I'm the firstborn, she said, "We are not going to the hospital in a dump truck." She went on a Harley Davidson. And after I was born, she said, "We are not taking our son home in a dump truck." So I went home on a 1947 knucklehead. And that's how my life got started. We weren't a family that went to church. I was raised in a pretty decent family. My dad, former Marine, 7 Purple Hearts, had a little bit of an opportunity after coming back of the war. And along that journey, I heard of Easter. I heard mostly as a little kid, Easter and Christmas. And I always wondered what it was. I believed in God. I thought there must be a God. Look at this creation. It couldn't have evolved by itself. There's too much detail in it. There's too much organization. And when I was a young man, at 8 years old, we moved to Hawaii. And when we got there, I was there until I was 14. And I kept wondering about God. I don't know. I just kept wondering about him. And one day I sat on a pillbox up in out of Lanikai. That's it's a thing that you cement that for machine guns they did because of the Japanese attack. And I sat there, and it was my first conversation with him. And I just simply said at 12, "You know, God, I think I know your favorite colors." I'm 12, never been in church. And I said, "I think you're really into blues and greens because I'm in Hawaii." And then the other thing I said to him, I said, "If you'd have asked me to help you create the fish of the sea, I don't think I could have come up with as many ideas as you did." And that started me on a journey. And the reason I'm saying this today is because we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel just means good news. So what is the good news? What is it for our family? What does this even mean? Because the ultimate sovereign of our life on this planet is death. Death is coming to us all. It comes to everything on the planet. The grass here is going to die, and new grass will come up. We had a super blossom of flowers this year. I mean, like, and super blossom of allergies. Okay, it all came. But the flowers will die. Every bug. You ever notice, I've been around, if you ever lived in the tropics, cockroaches live there. They really like that. My wife and I were in Fiji one time, and she's never liked cockroaches. Some reason she just doesn't like cockroaches. They've always bothered her. And she was putting on her, and we were in Fiji, and it was quite humid, and she put on her nightgown, and up came a cockroach right up and out of there. And let me tell you, she just lit out with a voice everyone could hear. And I'm thinking, it's a cockroach. I was after the cockroach, and I'm telling you, I got him. Death took him home to where cockroaches go. But there wasn't a moment that he wanted to die. Think of this. Death is the sovereign of our planet. And if there is no resurrection, if there was no resurrection of Christ, all of this is a waste of time. There is no point to be here today. If there was no resurrection, I have no good news today. There's nothing I can tell you that's going to be good. Because sin won. The kingdom of our adversary is called hell, and death is his sovereign. When it comes to us, we do not know when it's going to come. We know it's coming, but we don't know when. And when it comes, we do not get a choice to say, "Listen, I'm not in the mood today. I'm not going today." It is absolute sovereign, and it's sovereign over the whole planet, everything here. So I want to read you some scripture today. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, the good news that I preached to you. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news, this is the gospel, that saves you. Now, and I used to ask, save from what, save to what? I mean, this isn't I don't need a behavior modification. I wanted to know, is there a chance that a man or a woman born in our world, the scripture tells you that human beings reproduce human beings, and the Holy Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. That's why Christ said, don't be in a wonder why I say you must be born again. You need a rebirth. Is there a chance that there could be a rebirth in a man or a woman? Is that even a possibility? That's what he means by saved. So then he says, it is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I preached. Unless, and I like this, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. If there is no resurrection, it was not true in the first place. There is no new nature. Everyone is to be pitied. When you read down through the scriptures, it says, he goes, I passed on to you what was first important and what God had also passed on to me. What was that? Christ died for our sins. The condemnation we feel towards each other. The judgments. Look at our news anymore. It's like the whole world hates each other. Even Americans hate each other. There's foulness coming out of the mouth. He died for our sins. He was buried. And here it is. This is the good news. And he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. If there is no resurrection, there's no good news. That's the idea. If there is no resurrection, there is no new nature. There is nothing to tell you except hang in there. And when death comes, well, you're done. And by the way, you can't. There's nothing new that'll happen. But I'll tell you some stories. I'm going to tell you this. There is nobody in the United States Marine Corps when I was in the Marine Corps. And some of you are Marines. I know you. Okay? I know who you are. And if God can save a Marine, he can save anybody. I'm telling you that. If you're Air Force, it's a little easier. Okay? Now, here's what it says. But I tell you this. I tell you this. Since we preach Christ rose from the dead, since we're preaching that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there is no resurrection of the dead? Some of you even right here today are struggling with that. You're struggling, is there really a resurrection of the dead? Who is this Christ? Who is Jesus anyway? Is there a God? Is there a creator of heaven and earth? Is there a sustainer of life? Is there someone that is so real you can feel his good pleasure, you can feel his presence? Can you hear the sound of his voice? Is there such a thing as a faith that changes the soul of a man or a woman? My wife and I, we met in a nightclub, and there was nobody in that nightclub that said, look, there's a man and woman of God. That's what they're going to do in their life. The song I always used to ask, remember, I was Steppenwolf, Born to be Wild. That was that's the one I always asked the band to play. I said, I want you to know who you're marrying. I'm born to be wild. And she was just as bad as me. That's why you go to nightclubs. I mean, good grief, I was a young man like any other dude, you know? So now watch this. For if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. If there is no resurrection, let's just get this very clear. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of this preaching we're here today is useless. And so is your faith that you say you believe. If he did not rise from the dead, if there was no resurrection, if he was not glorified, if the Holy Spirit did not come, if there is no God in heaven, this is all useless. Because the thing that is sovereign in our whole world is death. It's sovereign. Nobody can stop it. You get cancer, you're doing your best to stop it. Every doctor tries to give you something, chemotherapy, something. Take a different diet, do something, stop it. Take an operation, cut the cancer out. Trying to stop death from taking you out of here. And it's going to take you regardless. If there is no resurrection, there is no hope. And that is the beauty of what we're here today for. Listen to these words. And we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised him from the grave. But that can't be true. That can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ hasn't been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. Absolutely useless. Doesn't do you any good. And you are still guilty. You still feel condemnation. You're still ashamed. You still feel regret all the time for the sins that you have done. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ, they're just lost. And if our hope is in Christ only for this life, here it is. If our hope in Christ is only in this life, we are more to be pitied than any people on the planet. Think of that. But then he goes in verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Okay? I want to tell you a little bit of a story because this is why we're here. And I want you to know that the apostles and the prophets and the people of that day of Christ had the same struggle you're having today. The same struggle I've had. They felt bad about who they were. They were trying to find out what God wanted to do. If there was a God, there was many people that didn't believe in God. They met people that said they believed in God, and the people that said they believed in God act like idiots, so they didn't want to believe in God. There couldn't be a God, because look at the way you act. They went, oh, everything was the same, just like it is today. And then when Christ was here, they had hopes. They had hopes for Israel, that Israel would be redeemed. They had hopes. That these apostles kept saying, we hope that we're going to be redeemed. He's going to set Israel free. The Roman Empire is going to come to a crumbling, bam, it's going to be knocked down, and Israel will be exalted again. They're looking for something. They had hopes in their dreams. And then what happens? All of a sudden, here it is. He's crucified. They can't even recognize him. He's hanging on a cross. The disciples left. They went. All of their hopes are just in disarray. You remember even when Peter walked into there when they were doing the testifying about him, and all of a sudden they say, I know you're one of those guys. I know you're one of those guys. Like, you're one of those followers of Jesus. You talk like him. So Peter began to swear. So that tells you I don't talk like him. So he at least knew Hebrew swear words. Okay? Those adjectives come in every country and every time. In fact, I used to tell people, one thing nice about swear words, if I'm swearing at you today, you're not going to wonder what I'm saying. You would all know. That's what happens. But I am telling you, something happened to them. And they had to walk through the process just like you and I. In Luke, I want to tell you a little bit of a story. In Luke, if I get this thing open here, Christ has been crucified. On the cross, you want to know the compassion, what God thinks about us? The very people that put him on the cross. Now, you can't recognize him. He's there. He's nailed. His hands are nailed. His feet are nailed, spiked through. And on that cross, they come saying, if you be the Christ, come on down and we'll believe. Doesn't say anything. They're spitting at him, saying, come on down. While he's on the cross and he says, Father, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's the love of God. See, that's the love of God for you and me. That's how he could take a Marine like me and give me a new nature. He could rebirth me. I got to restart. I got to grow in a new nature. I discovered something so wonderful, but I had to walk just like these men did. It said, on that day, it was on that Sunday when he was raised from the dead, that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, seven miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, I was thinking about that. Mike, do you remember when we did that? I did that and you did that, didn't you? It's a seven-mile trip, okay? And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed the things, Jesus himself suddenly came up and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. And he asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about the things that have happened here in the last few days. Who are they talking to? You must be the only one that doesn't know diddly squat what's going on around here. And I wonder what the Lord said. Yeah, you're right. What did go on? You know, what's happened? They don't know what's going on. So he says, the things that happened to Jesus, here it is, the man from Nazareth, they said. Here's the hope. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. And he was mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who was to come and rescue Israel. And this happened 3 days ago. As they walked on, they walked in, they were at the end of their journey, they're now in Emmaus, and Jesus acted like he was going to walk on, and they begged him, hey, it's getting late, would you stay with us? So he went in, and they had some dinner, and as he broke bread and he prayed over them, he told them, as they prayed, all of a sudden, they recognized who he was, and he was gone. Now, this is really cool. they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn with us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within that hour, they were back in Jerusalem. And I told my wife, I said, 7 miles away, they're walking, having a discussion. Stay with us. It's late. It's too dark. 1 hour later, they're back in Jerusalem, 7 miles away. They were in a hurry. Why were they in a hurry? Because they had seen the risen Lord. There was a resurrection. Now watch what happens. In Jerusalem, there they found the 11 disciples and others who had gathered with them, who said, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. Well, you have to remember when this chapter starts in Luke, I want you to know it was women that went to the grave that morning. It was women, not the men. The men were weary, they were burned out, they were mistrust, doubting, frightened, all kinds of stuff going on in their head. The women got some spices, they were going to go to the grave to get that stone rolled away and anoint the body. They got there, the stone's rolled away, there's no body. Two angels in dazzling clothing, it says, told them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is risen as he told you. They ran back and told the disciples, he is risen. These two men with dazzling clothes on us told he was risen. There's nobody. It says Peter and John ran there. Peter went in and comes back and says, well, there was nobody there. That's how it was. Then he appears to Peter. But then watch what happens. Then the two from Emmaus told their story, how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself suddenly standing amongst them. Shalom, peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was startled, now watch, startled and frightened, thinking they had seen a ghost. All of a sudden, they're in a locked room and he just appears. He's there. Is there a resurrection? Christ says, why are you frightened? Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Some of us here were filled with doubt, and every time some sad things, broken things come up, we're filled with a doubt over the faith that God, where are you? They thought, where is God? I thought he was the Messiah. We hoped he was going to resurrect. And now we're frightened. Everything's scary. Nothing works right. Nothing feels right. My life's broken. My wife's broken. Everything's a mess. And he says, why do you still doubt? And listen to what he says. Look at my hands and my feet. You can see that it's really me. Look at my hands. Can you imagine standing there? Look at my hands and my feet. They got together and Thomas came back and all of these disciples told Thomas, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. What? He came in here. I'm telling you, dude, the doors were locked. They came back, told us about that. The women told us about it. He was shown to Peter and then he showed right up here. We saw his hands and feet. And Thomas says what? I'm telling you, unless I put my finger through his hands, the nail scar of his hands, and I thrust my fist up his side, I will not believe. 8 days later, John 20, 8 days later, while they're in a room locked, Thomas with them, Jesus appears. Shalom. First thing he always does, peace be with you. And then he walks right to Thomas. Put your finger through my hand. Put it through my hand. And put your fist right up in here. It says, Thomas fell to his knees and said, my Lord and my God. And he said, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen me. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen me. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's us. God said, you're blessed. I want you to know there's no one like the Lord. I want you to know this Easter isn't about a religion. The resurrection isn't a set of arguments. It was an actual event that took place. He rose from the dead because death could not hold him. It could not hold him. I always wondered about that on that third day. Wow. Think of this. What was it like? Death comes in darkness. It's just darkness. He's on the cross and the earth goes dark. The ground shakes. The veil is split in half from the top to the bottom. The veil's 4 inches thick and just splits wide open to the Holy of Holies. The earth is shaking and God cries out, it is finished. And he surrenders his life. He goes down into hell and he's sitting. And there, sin and death, death holds everything. Death can hold every one of us. Not one of us can get out of it. And on that day, I wonder what it was like on that moment when it says death could not hold him and he just lit up. I mean, don't you think that would have been a kick in the pants to see? I mean, what I'm sharing with you is this. This is not, Easter is a celebration of a resurrection. I would ask you today, if you could have a rebirth, would you want it? If you could restart, would you want it? If there is a God, if there is a God, would you want to know him? If there is a God, why wouldn't you want to know him? He has a love for you and for me. He has a changed nature. Let it grow. The magnificence of the grace of Almighty God. There's no one like him. He says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. What do you mean saved? You shall be given a new nature. And think what it was like. Go back in the very creation of Genesis. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then he says he formed man out of the dust of the ground. And Adam, while he was perfect, made in the dust out of the dust of the ground, he was not alive until God humbled himself and he came down. And it says he blew into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. He was now made in the image of God. The image of God was in a container of flesh. God is not flesh like us. It says he is spirit, and those that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And then he tells Adam and Eve, did the same way, created Eve, same way, blew into her nostrils the breath of life. Don't eat of this. If you choose to sin, you will die on that day. He is not going to come into this. Christ had to come. Christ had to be made like you and I. God made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin, not to go do sin, but to actually be sin, so that we would become the righteousness of God. The magnificence of Easter is the celebration. Would you like a new life? Would you like to know that death has no sting on you? I remember, I'll give you a couple illustrations. I was shot down in a helicopter, and then I've been in two airplane crashes. And I used to tell people, you need to travel with me. And all my friends said, we're not traveling with you. I said, no, you want to travel with me because you will definitely have a story to tell. And the last airplane crash we went down, I actually had my wife with me in Africa. And we were going down. They said, we're going to crash land. And what's going to happen in this airplane is that I hold the nose off as long as I can. And they said, then the plane's going to make a right turn and it's going to roll and it's going to come apart. It's really fun when the captain's telling you this. You know, he's on loudspeakers and you hear him quite clearly. The plane's going to roll. It's going to come apart. And you that are alive and remain, get as far away from the wreckage as you can. And so I said, hon, I'm really sad I had invited you on this trip. And then I said, but hon, and I'm sorry for our kids. It's going to take them a while to get our carcasses out of Africa. And then we're going down and they're coming down and we're coming down. We've seen all these fire engines and all these people in silver, dressed in silver suits. And just as we're going down, I told my wife, I said, hon, one way or the other, I'll see you in a minute. See, I am telling you, if you are willing to receive the gift of God in Jesus the Christ, there's no one like him. He loves you. There is a love that you have never known until you come to Christ. There is a compassion you've never experienced until you finally stop fighting. I remember my father, after I came to know Christ, my dad loved, we were closer after I was in combat because he had 7 Purple Hearts, and all of a sudden my dad and I became close, and then I commit my life, I receive the gift of God, I'm living in the Lord, and now my dad has ticked at me, and for the next 20 years he told me to take Christ and stick him up my rear end, but he said it in a different term, okay? And I would say, Dad, you can't make me mad, you can't do that, there's nothing, you have no power to make me mad. Dad, I'm going to love you all the way to hell, you know that, Dad, I'm going to love you all the way to hell. Then I can't go there with you, but I'll go as far as I can. And then one day I told him I was praying for him, and I said, oh, he hated that. He was a bigger man. I put my arm around him. I said, Dad, I've been praying for you. Oh, dude, he's swearing at me. And I said, you know what the Lord told me about you, Dad? You're the best dad I'm ever going to get. How cool is that? And the day came when he was calling me some foul names and stuff, and he had to come to the church. And I told my staff, I said, just go on your lay on the floor and lay down and thank God for my dad's salvation today. Today is the day that my dad is finally going to receive Christ. He's going to take his gift and receive it. I knew it. And when he came in, he swore at me, called me an SOB. And I said, Dad, you know I'm not an SOB. You know my mother. And then he's swearing at me again, and I went just like this. Stop. I'm 42 years old at the time. My dad was 67. And I said, Dad, I have a question. And I'd ask this to you too. Why are you so afraid of being loved? It's actually like you're afraid of being loved. And all of a sudden, my father looked at me. I'd never seen this expression on his face ever. I started to see tears. Never saw that in my whole life. I hardly ever saw him smile. And all of a sudden, he looks at me and he says, Gus, I want to know the Jesus you know. And with that, he knelt down in a chair. We both knelt down, side chair, and my dad said, I want to know you. I want to know you. I believe, I'm confessing you with my mouth, and I want to know you. I want to know you like my son knows you. I want to walk that way. If you're willing to give me new life, I'm here. And all of a sudden, he bursted into tears. I mean, wailing into tears. I thought he was going to throw up in the chair. I'd never seen this. He made a wet spot in the chair. Gets up, doesn't know what, he's never been at church, he doesn't know anything. And he looks at me and he goes, tears run down his face. He says, Gus, I wish this would have happened 40 years ago. Now, I wanted to say, so do I, but I did not. And then he said this. He said, Gus, I would have made a lot more people happy. Think of that. That's a new nature. Instantly. And he said, I'd have lived a lot better life. I didn't know that within 5 years, Dad would get a brain tumor and go into eternity. But for the next 5 years, that was such a changed man. Everybody and their grandmother knew it. He led a lot of my cousins to Christ. He led his family to Christ. I mean, he just said, you've got to come. You've got to know this. Don't be afraid to be loved. Don't be afraid to be loved. On this day, we would like to invite you today. Listen, to get refreshed in Christ. Some of you have had such marital problems, you forgot the refreshment of the resurrection. You have forgotten the magnificence of the beauty of grace. That it's the kindness of God. He sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world, to refresh you and I, to give a new creation. And on this day, if you would like to have, to receive the gift of God, you have nothing to offer. We never had anything to offer. There's never been a time. You can't work this out yourself. It's a simple thing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he exists. And he's the rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. We're seeking him. There's no one like him. If you could feel his good pleasure, would you want to? Would you like to know the Lord today? Would you like to have a sense of refreshment today? Would you like him to anoint you in a way from the top of your head to the sole of your feet with the magnificence of a spirit that is so pure that your joy is uncontainable? When I was a former Marine, there was nobody saying, man, you're so joyful. Today, I hear it all the time because I have the nature of Christ that he put in me. On this day, we want to invite you to do that. Now, I think, Shelly, we're going to have some ladies singing here. It's going to be magnificent. And I want you just to listen to these words when they come. And then we're going to, in a few minutes, just pray over this time. Ask yourself, would you like to know him? Would you like to know him today? Would this be your day? Would you like to experience the magnificence of a new life? Would you like to know what your husband knows or your wife knows? Would you like to know for your children that death is not sovereign over your family anymore? It's not sovereign over you? He said to Martha, when Martha says, do you believe? She said, well, I believe in the resurrection and the last day you will raise us up. And Jesus said to Martha, Martha, Luke 11, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. Amen. Well, listen to this beautiful song. Amen.
Say it is. Beautiful. Listen,
go ahead. Would you stand up with us? I want to read this to you, and we're going to have a song of invitation. But I want to read the magnificence of this. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun with another man. Just as everyone dies because we belong to Adam, so everyone who belongs to Christ will be given a new life. But there is an order to the resurrection, that Christ was raised the first to be the first of a great harvest. I would ask on this day, he has never been ashamed of you. This is resurrection. This is not about death. This is about a new life, and I would invite you to come. Would you like to experience, if you could today, whatever your age is? I just got back from Hawaii talking to my 90-year-old aunt. She had never known the Lord, and she goes, I want to know the Lord the way you know him. I'm saying, Lord, you don't think there's any age problem, is there, at 90? And I invite you today. We're going to sing a song. They're going to lead us in this. Invite you to come, and I would like to pray with you right here. We'll pray over your families, pray over you. Would you be willing to be unashamed and come and present yourself before the Lord to simply say this, I want to know you. I today have come to confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord. And today I believe in my heart in the resurrection. If that is the case, I invite you to come as we sing.
invite you. We want your home to be refreshed. There is a resurrection. There's something to be had that most people don't even understand. It is magnificent. And these have come forward today, and we want to invite you. I think we're singing again?
We'll sing all together.
All together we're going to sing. And if you would still, as we're singing, if you'd like to come. I know sometimes it's a... I remember when I came to Christ on that day. I was in a church. I was in the very back. And they gave an invitation just like this. And what I said to my wife, please understand, I am not swearing. I said, there's no way in hell I'm walking some aisle. And then I walked right down the aisle. I said, how did I do that? She said, you said there's no way in hell you're walking the aisle, and then you just took off. And I thought, there's no one like the Lord. So as we're singing together, if you'd like to come, we would love to pray with you. So sons and daughters of the Most High, sing to the glory of the Almighty. The resurrection is here. It has actually taken place.
Run through the face of strength.
being here, and I'm going to close in prayer, but I'd also like to make a prayer that if you would like to, this is the prayer that I'm going to pray, the prayer that I did on that day when I wanted to know him and how I said it to him, because I didn't know what to say. I'd never really been anywhere like that. So would you just pray with me? Father, I come into your presence, and we say we want to know you. We want to know you. We confess that Jesus is the Christ. We believe that you raised him from the dead. Father, there is a resurrection. There is a victory to be had. And I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here today. I thank you that the resurrection is the healing power, that it's life over death. For all the wounds that have been here, all the brokenness that have been here, all the sadness at times that have gone on, Father, that the healing balm of Gilead is the very blood of Christ himself. I thank you for them. Will you take them on this day and bless them from the top of their head through the sole of their feet? Let them know the magnificence. There is a new nature, and death is not the final authority. It is the resurrection. And thank you for that, Father. So bless them and bless them on this day. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for the musician. Thank you for the pastors. Thank you for the saints. And Father, let it be. Reach our city with the magnificence of a blameless nature again, and awaken us to kindness and love and compassion and joy. Thank you for this in the love of Jesus the Christ. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here.